Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent, fourth-generation family office right here in the greater Phoenix area to bring you information you may not find on those other financial radio shows. We're aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here. And, last week we spent a lot of time talking on the petrol dollar. And we still think that's probably the single most important thing going on right now. So I wanted to follow up on that and see if there was any other articles in the news, anything we could find. And, there's one article saying that Saudi Arabia is looking to strike a deal with China and U.S. is stepping in to create a new pact, if you will. But what I found interesting, too, is I found one article specifically, and But this article says that the original pact had nothing to do with using a petrol dollar, had nothing to do with, everybody converting to the U.S. dollars in order to buy oil with Saudi Arabia. And it said that it's hard to look into this pact because it's all fake. And I found that very interesting because, of course, we're very, very adamant about not sensationalizing the stories that we bring up because we do think there's an impact. But should that be true, I mean, that would be huge if there isn't really, if all of a sudden this petrol dollar news story thing is fake. But this is Yahoo News, CBS, MSNBC, like pretty much anywhere and everywhere we're finding people talking about this. So for this one site to be like, no, that's all not true. So I found that interesting. That's kind of why, like, when we do get into articles, when we talk about the FDIC, when we talk about Social Security, we're pulling their annual statements. We're figuring out what's really going on because we can trace that back instead of just going off somebody else's story. Because you never know. But that's something we're definitely going to be following closer in the very near future.
Well, and let me add on. Yeah, the Saudi Arabia petrodollar story was pretty huge. It is growing legs. I'm seeing it in more mainstream media. I'm having people talk about it. I had a woman call me 2 days ago who, Anthony, we're going to see tonight, who said that this is the thing that's finally really worrying her about her money in the bank because she thinks this will accelerate the demise of our dollar. So people are talking about it. And then the article you gave me, the source is Ledger Insights. We want people to do the research we do. We take the entire week to find stuff to bring to you. So 99.9% of everything I see says this is eventually going to be a big deal. It's not instantaneous. It's going to take a while for things to change. And then one article from Ledger Insights says it's all fake. Like, you won't find anything on it because a contract never existed. So I don't know. I guess the thing is, depending on what you're reading, you're going to get a different slant. But I would say in this particular case, it is going to be a big deal. And in the article from this Ledger Insights, it says it kind of contradicts itself because it says it is true that Saudi Arabia joined Enbridge. We talked to you last week about looking up Enbridge. It's their financial platform. So Saudi Arabia joining Enbridge, along with the BRICS nations, which are expanding every single week right now. We got half the world either joining or wanting to join. So that by default means you're going to get away from the dollar. De-dollarization, growth of BRICS, petrodollar being replaced into their own respective currencies away from the dollar. It all means the same thing. We are losing, as we speak, the fiat currency that we've relied on for a long time. And I'm not positive that we should have relied on it for a long time. I mean, you know, one of the things, we go to some groups, Anthony, you and I, we're going to go to one tonight, that talk about constitutionality of our country and the lack thereof. And so obviously, being a financial guy, one of the things that I look up, what does the Constitution say about money? And you know what? Shockingly, it's very little. So if you look up, if you have a pocket constitution, kids, go ahead and take a peek at Article 1, Section 8. It says, to establish a uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States. Okay, so they're saying even back then, you could charge up the old Visa card and then walk away. To coin money, I think there were no accidents with words, to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measures, to provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States. This is, let me read that last line one more time. I think our dollar has been completely fake the entire time. To provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States. And I know, very Randy Miller of me to dip into the old Constitution. I'm just saying, I mean, I think our gold backs in your and my wallet are more legitimate than our dollar. I think any guns and ammo and tower gardens and food and water, I think anything we have is a more viable currency than our dollar. So, and you know, we don't need to beat the petrodollar thing to death. We just want people to know that there's at least one person out there saying, it's nothing to worry about. It's all fake news. So,
well, that's the thing is, this is with even without that happening, all of the things that we've brought up on the show in the past are all leaning towards people getting away from the dollar. So whether that whole PAC thing, whether all of that is fake, that really doesn't change the whole trajectory that we're on in general. At least I don't think it, so.
It does not. That's what I was saying. I don't give a rat's you know what this insights is saying, because we're losing our dollar no matter what we do. And I've been saying for a long time, even if we don't have civil unrest, if we don't have World War III, even if things remain calm in this country throughout the election and the Disease Act, you know, we do still have to fix Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. So the younger you are, or the older you are, if you have kids or grandkids, buckle up, because it ain't getting better. It's getting worse and worse by the day, as we know. And there's a few things, just geopolitically, as long as we're on the globe right now. So, you know, Putin met with Jong-un the third, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, President Trump met with Kim. He walked over into North Korea years ago. And a lot of people were startled, and some people were impressed, some people were horrified, whatever. Well, now the world leader that's dealing with North Korea is Russia. And they're basically saying they're going to help each other if there's any problems. So that's interesting. North Korea, they fire off rockets all the time. You know, people call him little rocket man. He wants to stay relevant. I don't know. I mean, every single day I have a new update that says we are definitely at the end of our road. And I'm going to get to Janet Yellen later, because I haven't talked about the little cartoon animal in a while. Janet Yellen, I mean, I listened to an interview earlier this week. Today, by the way, is the 19th of June as we record. So I listened to a video of her earlier this week. What they're looking at, what she's looking at doing. So that means, you know, the J's, Jerome Powell, Jared Bernstein, Janet Yellen. I need to call them the triple J's. I gotta have some clever name for them. J cubed, the amazing J's. So you know what they're looking at now? You know when we did sanctions on Russian money? Remember that, Anthony? The money's held in foreign countries. I'm guessing some here, but we're in charge of the sanctions. So she is going to take that money, starting with $50 billion, and give it to Ukraine.
What?
Yeah. Look it up. This is this week, Janet Yellen. Look up Janet Yellen video sanctions. Put some keywords in.
So any Russian funds that the U.S. controls, she's going to take.
Instead of releasing the money when the sanctions are over, when we all play nice together and I'm wrong and everything's okay, and I wind up donating my canned goods to, say, Vincent the Ball, oh my gosh.
Definitely not pro-Russia, but that definitely seems like that's trying to be an aggressor at this point.
And who are we? who are we to make sanctions? You know, last week we started talking about sanctions on China. Like, this has got to be intentional. The elites, you know, a lot of the senators and people have satellite phones. We brought you that a couple years ago. You've got underground bunkers. You guys are going to be okay, I guess. The rest of us, we're screwed. I don't know. I mean, it's piling on right now. But anyway, so during the G7 meeting, there's talk now about it putting sanctions on China. You know, how did that work out for Russia? They got stronger. They wound up getting rid of the dollar for their oil.
Well, it's also easier to put sanctions on when you're not dependent on that company. Everything we do is built in China. So we pretend like they're the enemy, but we give them all of our business.
Well, it
doesn't make sense to me.
Good news. You know, you've had a great time at cheap goods at Walmart. Good news. That's over too. This inflation is not going away. You know, I mean, don't forget, it was not even 6 months ago. We're going to raise interest rates in 2024 six times. Then magically, right away at the beginning of the year, it was three. Now it's one. They're talking about one. When would the one be? September. Oh, right before the election. That's perfect timing. That'll help you. You know what? But inflation is not going away. I mean, I have hinted at it over the years. If we don't get hyperinflation, I'll be surprised. I mean, Argentina, I'm looking at you right now, and they're in pretty good assemblance right now. But they got 200-something% inflation. So when your cup of coffee, let's not even use Starbucks because that's already $29.95. Let's just use like Dunkin' Donuts. When your $6 cup of coffee is $12 or $18, we'll see. See if your government can save you while they're going into their central bank digital currency. I don't mean to get too far into that one. I just think geopolitically, that's one of our 10 pillars, geopolitics. It's on fire right now, and I mean that literally. You know how I always tell people that Facebook, as much as it's a train wreck, it's a dumpster fire, whatever analogy you want to use, Facebook is very important. You know, Anthony, when did I tell you? When did I tell your mom? But you were there, so I think you remember this. I mean, I went out to Ace and True Value as soon as I heard something about masks. Remember that day?
Yeah.
I left the office and went and bought a bunch of masks. Well, I mean, it turned out that was right. You know, apparently COVID was a nothing burger and they, you know, did a lot of ruckus for nothing, but I had masks. Hand sanitizer, Clorox wipes, all that stuff. When that was in short supply, you know, when I told you that it's crunch time, if you need any more, soon as I saw it on Facebook, like the very first post I saw about having prom getting hand sanitizer, I called your mom from the office and asked her if she'd run up to Sam's Club. And we are already stocked up. You know what? The people that are stocked up, it's never enough. People like me, no matter what you have, it's never enough. You want more. People that weren't stocked up just wanted some. Well, so evil people that are stocked up are taken away from people that have nothing. You know what? I'm more mad at the people that have nothing. If you on June 19th, 2024, if you're not stocked up with Clorox wipes and hand sanitizer and toilet paper, what the hell's wrong with you? Just because you're 401k, it's impossible for it to have a down day. That doesn't mean the world's not on fire, literally. And people are going to be blindsided once again, like they always are. So our whole mission, we want you proactive, not reactive. So if I were you, if you don't have enough toilet paper, it's a good time to get that again. Moving on a hair. So speaking of geopolitics and the world and all that stuff, Japan. I just heard this morning. I always have to give credit to Joe Jaquin whenever I catch his show over on the other Salem network on 10:10 a.m. Oh my gosh, the guy, I mean, he is like us on steroids. I mean, his whole thing is to bring you news, you know, that you may not be finding on the other shows. We need to team up with him. We need to work together with Joe. Anyway, so he brought...
I like this show, and you know I don't like any of these shows. Any show that's not ours. And this one I barely tolerate because I'm on it.
Well, and I barely tolerate you're on it too. So that's perfect. But anyway, so Joe, this morning, talking about Japan. And it's one thing just to say there's a big, huge bank in Japan that's going south. This bank is like, I don't know, eight times bigger than Silicon Valley Bank. So it's bad enough that he's saying that the next, you know, the bail-in, all the stuff coming, it's going to be a ripple globally. Apparently, and I haven't had time to dig into this yet because I literally heard it within a half an hour of getting ready for the show today. Do you know the U.S. was bailing out this bank in Japan? I can't wait to read and have some verifiable, vetted facts on this. But if I hear it from Joe, I know he's vetted it. So I think I'll be safe saying that. Apparently, we were, and they're dumping their U.S. Treasury. They have to. They have to sell their U.S. debt because it's broke. The unrealized losses we've been telling you there was like a half a trillion in unrealized losses a couple weeks ago and 63 banks on the imminent failure list. Now they're saying it's more like 286. It's this, you can't make this stuff up. Anyway, apparently the U.S. was giving money to this bank in Japan. So it's not just Ukraine. I guess we're helping the whole world. And by the way, speaking of your 401k that cannot seem to have an hour that goes down in any given day, the Teflon Dow just won't move. So I heard this morning, I think it was on Joe's show too, I heard that now NVIDIA, and I think I heard this yesterday, by the way, is now the largest company on the planet. It has surpassed Microsoft, largest company on the planet. How many of you that are listening to us own NVIDIA stock? Nancy Pelosi, I'm not talking about you. I know you make $1 million every time somebody sneezes over at NVIDIA, but how many mainstream people own NVIDIA? You know, if NVIDIA, and now apparently they're not saying the Magnificent Seven anymore. Now it's five stocks that are carrying, they're saying over 60% of the S&P 500. That means 495 stocks are carrying less than half of the weight of those weighted averages. So the whole thing's a sham. It's a crock of you know what. So anyway, so NVIDIA, apparently it's the largest company in the world. It's one of the five stocks. I guess the other ones are, what is it? Meta. I love that. Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, the train wreck dumpster fire that it is, which you need to be on there because that's the barometer of our country. You know, if you're my age. I asked Jay the other day something about Facebook because Jay brought us an article for this week. Good on him. And I said something about Facebook. He's like, no, you know, Instagram, you know, they're doing other social media, but they're not doing Facebook. So apparently that's
it's
the
just for dinosaurs like you.
Hey, I'm going to switch over from MySpace completely to Facebook. Anyway, so that's just so you know, when your 401k goes, you have this big diversified mix of stocks and bonds and maybe money markets and all this stuff that's worthless or worthless to be. You know what you probably don't have? The five stocks that are floating the entire market. By the way, I mean, there are...
If you get a 401k in any of their mutual fund weighted average buckets, retirement date funds, you know, all of those companies are stocking up on it. But it's one of those people are just chasing. Because I remember when NVIDIA started going up, but it was like, well, is it really that great of a company? Do they have anything really going for them? Is this all speculative? And then again, does any of that matter when, you know, everything collapses? Because you look at the dot-com bubble, you look at 2008, it does not matter how great of a company it actually was because they all fall together. So, are you capturing those gains? Maybe you did buy NVIDIA, and maybe it has skyrocketed. But do you have NVIDIA shares, or do you have the cash from the proceeds of everything going up? Or do you have unrealized gains?
But then what do you do? It's like the people that have Bitcoin. I am a multi-gazillionaire because I bought Bitcoin at 16 cents and now it's worth 70 grand. So when you sell it, well, you get the US dollar. And then I guess you can put that into gold and silver. I don't know. All I'm saying is, you know what? Maybe we've been fed garbage advice on our 401k. Everybody says you should be diversified. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know who's rich right now? The people on Facebook, Google, NVIDIA. That if you own just the Magnificent Seven and you've owned them for any length of time, you're probably doing pretty well. If you have a 401k, even though it can only go up apparently in this world, it's not going up anywhere near the levels that these little bucket of stocks are going up. So, and I understand what you're saying, Anthony, but when these big ones, this is a modern day tech bubble. You realize that. This is what happened in March and April of 2000. It's the AI version. It's an AI bubble. Absolutely it is. And by the way, you're I'm trying to make money on AI. You're cheering it on. It's replacing you, idiots. Your job is going to be taken over by a robot. So enjoy your influx of NVIDIA cash because all this AI is going to do is get rid of you. So
okay. But then we've got a universal basic income to cover all the job losses from AI.
Excellent. Yeah, I can't wait to get my debit card.
Circle.
Can't wait to get my central bank digital currency debit card. Oh, you know what people picture when they picture a CBDC? They picture, I think, I'm speculating, they picture like Bitcoin. They picture, you know, like a coin. Like, you know, there's no Bitcoin, right? There's fake ones. My neighbor up north in Snowflake gave me like five of them. So I have some fake Bitcoins. They're super cool. They're plastic, but they're gold painted. So anyway, yeah, let's talk about Jay for a second. Jay brought me an article for the first time in the 2 years and quarter of a year that we've been on the radio. Apparently, it's made its way to Instagram. So Jay knew about it. And he brought it to me. And the first thing I did was look around. We told you, I don't know, probably a year ago, hang tight. A draft is going to be coming. You got a bunch of obese people in the nation. You got people on drugs. You got people that do not believe in the cause. You got people whose parents don't want them to go in. I mean, I'm a veteran and I'm one of them. You really think I want Jay going in the military right now? I mean, hello. Nope. Stay here. Be safer. Play video games. Do whatever. But anyway, so apparently the Senate passed a bill and we are going to go towards the draft in 2025. So it says here, House, this is from DNYUZ, a new source to me, but it's first article I printed. So DNYUZ, this was on the 14th of June. House passes defense bill automatically registering men 18 to 26 for the draft. It used to be always 18 to 24, I think. So they're expanding the age. Then I understand they're going to add women to it in 2025, which good. I mean, everybody wants equal rights. Have at it. And if they're going to draft my son, they should draft your daughter. Boy, I'm an old man, aren't I? Get off my lawn, women, and get your ass over to Ukraine and fight for the cause. So the House of Representatives passed a measure on Friday, automatically registering men age 18 to 26 for selective service. Well, when you turn 18, don't you have to go to the Postal Service and register? Yeah, you're supposed to. Apparently, a lot of them are not. So apparently, like 25%, they don't even know about it. Their parents don't tell them about it, so they don't register. So now it's going to be automatic. The few articles I look through, they're going to use, maybe this is an article that shows, they're going to be using available federal databases. The Select Service Agency will be able to register all individuals required. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but when I started poking, they're going to use, the government's going to use your social media account. Because apparently, your accounts say what year you graduated, that you give all your personal information. So they're going to use, guess what? AI is going to skim through all your social media and kind of get an idea. Make sure you didn't slip through the cracks. So they're going to use federal databases, tax returns, MVD records. You got a driver's license because you're 16. Now you're 18. You're in their system. And they're going to use your Amazon account. They're going to go through your social media, Amazon. They talked about where they're likely to not have anybody slip through the cracks. And it was a metrics of federal databases, social media, and Amazon accounts. So, and then I read further, and it passed the Senate. It has not passed the House. It's so funny because I don't really care. I know the commander-in-chief just has to say, I don't care that it doesn't pass the House. I'm going to do an executive order, and poof, it's going to happen. We're going into World War III. So if you have kids or grandkids, or if you're listening to us, which would be really weird, I only know two of you are offhand, if you're in between the ages of 18 and 26, get ready. You know, Jay's been running more. Jay goes to the gym every day. Jay's in good shape for a little dude, but he started running more. He's like, how much did you have to run when you were going into military? He's like, well, I knew I was going in. I wasn't drafted. So I spent about 6 months running. I was like Forrest freaking Gump. I was running. And you know, I know, Anthony, this is hard to believe, but you know, when I was at your age, even still, I was in shape. I mean, I didn't get very this.
I've seen some pictures, though.
No, I actually was in good shape until I married your mom. I'm not saying that, you know, I had to stop trying to get, you know, other women. I'm not trying to say she's a good cook. I'm saying it's a combination of all those things. But yeah, I used to have to be in shape. So anyway, something interesting with this draft thing. Apparently, Chuck Schumer, Democrat out of New York, the article has to point out, blasted the bill, saying it's not inclusive. It says that there's things missing about, wait till you hear this, amendments curbing funding for abortion, transgender medical care, and diversity efforts.
Says, what does that have to do with the draft?
God damn it, Anthony. I want to just turn on the Masked Singer and not read any more articles. Because this is insane.
Be happier.
Nothing to do with draft. It's more crap fighting with our elected representatives. The people that represent us are talking about LGBTQ, anti-choice, anti-environment, and other divisive amendments guaranteed not to pass the Senate, Schumer said. holy crap. So then, you know, and I listened to a lot of different sides of things, and I saw something from Shemaine Nugent, that's terrible Uncle Teddy's wife, and she put here on her, I don't know if this was Instagram or Facebook Messenger or whatever it was from, says here, isn't it interesting how the current administration aims to send over strong young men abroad while allowing millions of military-age foreign men to enter our country? Think about that, how brilliant that is. I don't know if Shemaine took that from somebody else, or that's her thinking. So you've got open borders. You have flooded our country. There's pictures. There's videos. I don't think it's my tinfoil hat time. You flooded our country with age men that are between 18 and 26, we presume, as you're getting ready to send our men overseas. Is that a possible Trojan horse scenario, or is it just coincidence? Holy crap. Anyway, oh, guess what else Shemaine said on her post? Illegal immigrants are exempt. We're hearing a lot lately about how they're getting, when you get driver's license, if you're here legally, now you've got voting rights. But apparently we can't draft your kids. So welcome to America in 2024. Anthony, everything I've worried about since I met you, I not only have been early but never wrong, I have way underplayed how this nation's going to play out. This article is insane. And Jay, I hope you don't get drafted. If you do, you do. I mean, we're not a crooked family. You're not going to be a draft dodger. Jay's going to turn gay and go to Canada or whatever. You know, at least he's a college student. Maybe they'll exempt them again. They're saying they're exempting illegal aliens, but they're not saying they're exempting college students this time. So we'll see. With that, I hate to say it, but I believe we've run the clock out. So we will be back in a few minutes. Don't forget, they're going to re-air this episode tomorrow, Sunday, at 1 o'clock. So join us again if you missed something, or if it was just that much fun that you want to hear it again. And you can find us wherever you find your favorite podcasts, if you wish. What else, Anthony? Is that it? Oh, 623.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
How do you find us? 623-523-0444, or reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Thanks so much for being with us.
This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one's actually fun. At Rochford & Associates, we know you've worked hard to earn your money, and you've worked even harder to save it. When it comes to wealth management and planning for retirement, J.R. Rochford and his team of specialists have been helping individuals, families, and business owners find financial freedom at their veteran-owned firm for more than 25 years. Give us a call now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Another weekend, another money show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thank you so much for being with us. We always appreciate it. Thank you, too, for your emails and calls. And we've never done the thing where we're like, you know, Frank from Surprise, Arizona wants to know why I should do a Roth conversion. The reason you don't hear us do the financial questions, because we don't have time. We have 1 hour to sound alarms. We have 1 hour to make sure you understand our goal is to have you prepared, not scared. Proactive, not reactive. So if you want financial planning, if you want like common sense ideas on what to do about all this, come sit down with us. Email us, even if you don't want to meet us. If you really are worried that you're going to sit with a salesperson, email us, ask your questions. We respond, and we respond thoroughly, and we'll never pressure you. So anyway, if you're wondering why the other shows always say that, you know, somebody has a question, we never do that, just because we just literally don't have time. With that said, I mentioned getting into Janet Yellen, my very favorite little cartoon animal, and I want to do that. So I've got two articles. I guess I'll get to the one that I already hit on first, because there's not much more to say. This one is from CNBC on the 13th of June. Yellen says, more Ukraine aid can be backed by frozen Russian assets after the initial $50 billion loan. That's the title. So we're loaning $50 billion to Ukraine. Are they going to add that to their tab? I think. What's
like,
the
do we just now starting doing loans? So were all the other ones loans, or is that we're just giving away billions?
Those were gifts.
You'll give them money to pay back their loans to us at some point?
Yes. With simple interest, not compound interest, because, oh, make your way over to usdebtclock.org, kids. We've passed the 34.8 trillion mark now, so we're still moving. And some of these big, huge financial cluster you-know-whats, they're not showing up yet. I mean, some of these packages that we've said yes to, they're not on our official debt yet, so hang on, kids. They don't want to scare you. It's kind of like the bank bail-ins. You know, we're too stupid to know that there's going to be a bank bail-in, so they're going to keep that information amongst themselves. And then somehow the video saying that will be released. And we'll play it right here on Another Money Show. Gah, this country. We almost deserve what we get. If you're awake and you're aware and you're nimble and you take care of your finances proactively, you'll be collateral damage to a big, huge dumping in this country. And I feel bad for you. I mean, I really do. For people that get near us, we have solutions to weather the storm better than other people. We're getting you out of the bank. We're getting you out of the stock market in general. I mean, some people, it's a good fit. So anyway, this article from CNBC, let's see here. President Biden has been pushing the plan of using revenue from the immobilized Russian funds to aid Ukraine and secure the deal with his G7 counterparts in Italy. You did see the video, right, from the G7, Anthony, where he wandered off to look for a parachutist. The prime minister of Italy had to grab him and turn him back around. Then he wandered off in California. Oh, you need to look at that. I'll send it to you.
Yeah,
I know. He's 81, whatever. No, he's not all there. This is, I almost said domestic abuse. It's elder abuse at this point. You know, I mean, taking his little Prevagen and cocaine or whatever he's on. It's like, come on, get this guy home. So anyway, so he wandered off. Apparently, he got frozen in California last weekend at a fundraising dinner at the Peacock Theater. And Obama had to take him by the hand and escort him off stage. Obama's still all there. So luckily we have Obama, because these are trying times in the country. So anyway, let's see here. Yellen said there are technicalities to figure out about executing and could not provide a concrete timeline for when Ukraine will see the money. I can't understand this. So we're giving Russia's money to Ukraine, who's fighting Russia. So Russia, you are funding your own war indirectly. I mean, am I the only one that thinks that's funny? So we sanction Russia. We seize their money, and we're going to use it to give it to Ukraine. Who's going to fight who? Russia. So I don't know. And how soon do we have to get this money, Janet, Joe? How soon do we have to get it? Oh, I can add Joe to the three J's. How soon do we get the money? Right before we get nuked? I mean, you do realize that we are still on the verge. We have been for the last couple of years. We're still off the verge of World War III. And we could get nuked. You know that, right? Oh, speaking of Facebook and nuking, here's a funny segue for you real quick. So I hadn't heard this term in years. I'm thinking I haven't heard it in like at least 10 years. When I was a baby conspiracy theorist, no, it's been more than 10 years. So let's say 15, 20 years ago, when I was a baby tinfoil hatter, a baby black swan watcher, I heard a term called Gwen, not Stefani, Anthony, slow down. So Gwen, which stands for the Ground Wave Emergency Network. This was a program put in place when we were going to fight Russia the first time when I was a kid and I had to go to the hallway at school. So this was a communication system they were setting up. So when Russia and us go to World War, I don't know what it would have been at the time. Would it have been three at that time too? Yeah, of course it would have. So this thing, it says here, Gwen was a U.S. Air Force command and control communications system deployed briefly. Well, how brief it is when you hear these dates. Briefly between 1992 and 1994. That's 2 years. That's not that brief when you're talking about putting up towers. And apparently they put up a lot of them. We have one here in Arizona. There's one. They're all across the country. There's one in Flagstaff, Arizona. So this was going to be the communication system during the nuclear war. So it says here, it was intended for use only by the United States government to facilitate military communications before, during, and after nuclear war. Specifically, the Gwen network was intended to survive the effects of an electromagnetic pulse. You ever heard me talk about EMTs? This one little article ties a lot of my favorite subjects into one. From a high-altitude nuclear explosion and ensure that the United States president or their survivors could issue a launch to order the Strategic Air Command bombers by radio. I believe I was in the Strategic Air Command when I was in the military for a little while. Then I went to the TAC, the Tactical Air Command. Anyway, so if you're resting, because I hadn't planned on taking enough time to really dig into Gwen, I hadn't heard it in at least, I don't know, probably 15 years. And then I heard it twice 2 days ago. Two people reached out to me and said, you do realize they've reactivated the Gwen system. And I was like, Gwen? I didn't even ring a bell. And I'm like, oh, shoot. So I looked a little bit into it, and I can't, and I have three articles here right now. Two are basically pointing out, yeah, that's what it looks like they're doing, and one is saying they're not. So, and Wikipedia is the one that's saying they're not, and we know which way that that leans. But anyway, so the Gwen, this is so interesting. So then it hits Facebook. I see it on Facebook yesterday. I was like, holy, you know what? So when you're resting, look up Gwen, G-W-E-N system, and see if you think that, and by the way, so we're going to protect the commander-in-chief so he can order, you know, nuclear strikes back to what, North Korea and Russia now that they're buddies. I would almost say, when I say they don't care about us, they have food supply. They, oh my gosh, we've spent years telling you it's the haves versus the have-nots. It's us versus them. You know that the government, with your tax dollars, bought billions of rounds of ammunition, and they put it with the IRS and the Social Security Administration. And my very, I think some of the Postal Service, but that's warranted because doesn't the Postal Service have shootings once in a while? And the one I find the most fascinating, NOAA, the National Organization, I don't know what it stands for. It's the people that do the weather. Do you know that NOAA has billions of rounds of ammo? And Anthony, maybe we'll go to that you know, one fake news site and see if that's true. But NOAA, so they have billions of rounds of ammo. So this communication system is probably saying they know that it's just what day it's going to happen. We're going to go into World War III actively, and they want to make sure they can talk amongst themselves. You can fend for yourself. You can have your little Baofeng radio. You can have your little, you know, Nextel, whatever you have. You can have your repeaters. They're going to shut all that down, but they'll still be able to talk through the Gwen network, it looks like. So we'll see. Moving back to my little friend Janet Yellen. Janet, if you're listening, I don't mean any disrespect when I call you a cartoon animal, but come on. I mean, have you seen yourself? Have you seen your videos? You are hilarious, you little mushroom head. So Treasury Secretary, oh, shoot, allegedly. So Treasury Secretary Yellen, I love this one so much, says the U.S., oh, this is from CNBC on 6/13/24. Treasury Yellen, I can't even get through this, Anthony. I should give you some of these articles that I find too funny to even bring to people. Says U.S. debt load is in a reasonable place. If this, I don't know. Come on, Yellen, you caused all this.
Yeah, that's why it's reasonable.
It's reasonable to her. For $34.8 trillion. I mean, I was alive when Reagan was president. I was kind of young when we got to $1 trillion in the '80s. Trillion didn't make any sense to me. I didn't understand it. But looking back, it was like we still could catch the falling knife in the '80s. In the '70s, we had inflation. We've had different problems. Anthony, we've been in a civil war. We've been through all this. We're going to get through it. No, we're not. We've never been through it all at once. Luckily, you have Janet Yellen telling you not to worry. I guess I'll just read a hair of this, because what more can I add? She said everything's okay, and I believe her, so everything's okay. I hope she's not in China high on mushroom soup. But anyway, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on Thursday said the swelling national debt is manageable as long as it stays around where it is relative to the rest of the economy. Janet, Ms. Yellen. Secretary, whatever you want me to call you. It's not stopping. It is going higher. You're not going to be able to manage it. It's gone. Come on. I'll try to be serious again. Multiple Congressional Budget Office reports have warned about the soaring costs of debts and deficits, cautioning that over the next decade, the public share of the national debt. You heard what I just said, right? The public share of the national debt, currently about $27.6 trillion, will hit a new record as a share of the total economy over the next decade. Let me dig into that one for a second. So there's roughly $34.8 trillion in debt on the books, right? We all agree that that's not fake news. They are saying, the Congress people that are, again, let me remind you, they're representatives of us. They're elected officials. They're saying $27.6 trillion of that is public share of the national debt. I didn't tell them to give money to Ukraine. I didn't tell them to send out stimmy checks when COVID was here. I don't own any of that debt. Should I slow down? Do you want to actually hear me heart attack, stroke out on today's show? Because an aneurysm was about to pop in my head. Don't give me that public share. None of it is the public share. Janet, Jerome, Joe, who's the other one? I don't know. There's four. I'm up to four J's. It's your debt. It's not my debt. You pay it. You took it out. You pay it. Student loan people. I heard that Biden's about to do another million people's student loan debt. The smart or the sure. Or there's always some catchy name for it. You took off the debt. Sorry, Anthony. I know you disagree. You took it out. You pay it back. You know, these credit card commercials. Did you get more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Call us. You know, did you get $30,000 in IRS debt? Call us. Screw you. You took it out. You pay for it. Don't drive up your credit card and then file bankruptcy. Get off my lawn. That's what you should do. So anyway, so the end of the article. I'm back. My stroke's over. The end of half my face is drooping. I can barely talk, but I'm back. So this is the last two paragraphs of the article, then I'll move on. At an event later in the day, same day, I presume, at an event later in the day, Yellen said the administration is aware of the inflation issue. Wait a minute. Is it still transitory, Jan? Is aware of the inflation issue, but noted that the U.S. is enjoying the strongest recovery of any advanced nation, and our strong growth is really lifting growth globally. She said that.
What?
There's quotation marks around this. I have it. I highlighted it. I have this in my hand. I'm not giving you fake news. I'm reading from CNBC. They're friendly. I'm not reading from Fox News, kids. So anyway, she's. I'm going to read that one more time just because I'm having a good time.
Yeah, please do.
At the event later in the day, Yellen said the administration is aware of the inflation issue, but noted that the U.S. is, and I quote, enjoying the strongest recovery of any advanced nation, and our strong growth is really lifting growth globally. Holy cow. All right, let me read the very last sentence, and then we have to move on, because people, if this doesn't wake you up, I don't know, maybe Gwen wakes you up. Maybe Japan, bang, you know, it's going to be global, kids. When they do our bail-in, it's going to ripple. So here's the very last line of this article on CNBC, not Fox. Americans are clearly very concerned about the cost of living and dressing the high cost of living remains a top economic priority for the president, Yellen said, at a luncheon with the Economic Club of New York. New York, what a cesspool. Sorry, New York's a beautiful city. We know that there are areas of their budgets where Americans are really having trouble making ends meet. This entire article, Janet, you start out by saying we're okay. It's reasonable. We hope it doesn't grow, but it's reasonable. And then you're saying the global growth because of the shining beacon on the hill is staggering. And now you're saying that people are struggling. Okay. I'm glad we have growth. Let's get to something a little more serious, because the end of our world reserve currency, the end of our fiat currency, the World War III, the Enbridge, the petrodollar, none of that is as important as this. So let me be serious for a second, because I don't know how much time is left, but we need to get to this. Ah, gosh darn it. I violated the last couple weeks thing about most important things first. All right. This is from June 13th, 2024, from The Register. Wells Fargo fires employees accused of faking keyboard activity to pretend to work. So, Anthony, do dig out that list of all the lawsuits from Wells Fargo, because as I find one new article a week on Wells Fargo and I keep it in its own separate file, I think we need to do a 1 hour. Let's try to get another 2 hour episode on Wells Fargo alone. I'll just read a couple seconds of this. Wells Fargo fired a bunch of employees accused of pretending to work by using some tech to fake their keyboard typing instead of doing their actual jobs, it emerged today. The California-based Enormo Bank disclosed, I love that term, Enormo Bank, too big to fail. The California-based Enormo Bank disclosed the terminations to the U.S. Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. If you're in the industry, you know that's FINRA. By the way, if you ever want to check out your advisor, call us or email us and we'll tell you about FINRA broker check. We like to point out when advisors have filed their own bankruptcy or they've been fined or seized or censured or whatever because they did stuff like this. We'd love to point that out to you. Maybe even your own rep is one of them. So anyway, and I only bring that up because me and you, Anthony, we have a pretty squeaky clean record. So if I had a bunch of black marks on mine, I would probably not be as likely to bring that up. But yeah, full disclosure, fiduciary, transparency, best interest of the client, suitability. It's all kind of important if you're managing somebody's health or money, if you ask me, but who am I? So let's see here. The employees were discharged after a review of allegations involving simulation of keyboard activity, creating the impression of active work. According to Bloomberg on Thursday, I want to get to this one. I like this one. So in official documents filed by Wells Fargo and reviewed by the Register, at least one of the axed employees worked at Wells Fargo Advisors and Clearing Services until early May and had passed his securities exams just 2 years prior. He was accused of simulating keyboard typing to fool bosses into thinking he was working. All right. On a couple different levels, I want to dig into the sentence. So, Anthony, you've been in the office 6 years now, right? I still consider you brand new to the industry. And you're super smart. You've got a good heart. You're honest with people. You're an engineer by trade. You've got all the right characteristics to be a financial advisor. 85% of them out there, I'm not so sure. But you are one of the good ones. So you haven't seen squat. You've been in the job for 6 years. You've never seen a downturn. You saw COVID. You saw the single biggest black swan event in the entire history of the entire world, I would say. Because what else? Did our Civil War, Anthony, did our Great Depression, 1929, did that affect Ukraine? Did that affect Canada? Did that affect the rest of the world? No, but the COVID did. You know, started in a wet market, soup, bat, you know, all that stuff. Oh, wait, no, maybe it was gain of function now. Turns out Fauci is on the Hill saying how he didn't know certain things, didn't know kids were going to struggle with school and all that if you keep them home. But anyway, so 6 years. So this poor dude who's probably working harder at trying to find ways not to work than just to work. So he's been in the job 2 years. I guess where I'm going with this, I have said over the years, we are in very precarious position right now. We are in very uncertain, uncharted territory right now. So if your advisor has been in the job less than 20 years, it's your money. You better make sure you're asking your advisor questions. What's their plan? Do they have stops in place? Do they have cash on the side like Anthony does for his clients? So when we have a market cut by 75% and there's opportunities, he can put it to work. What is your advisor doing? This guy's a Wells Fargo financial advisor. I love making fun of them. Blue suit, white shirt, red tie, highly polished shoes. Don't give a rat's you know what about your money. They can't. They don't have time. They have pressure and quotas, and they cannot do the right thing, or 6 months later, they'll be gone. How many people, Anthony, come in the office? We don't help them. They're good where they are, or they're better paying down debt, or they should buy gold and silver. They shouldn't buy anything we have to offer them. That's the right thing to do in this job. That's not what I'm usually seeing from the big banks. Where's the term? Enormo Bank? I'm super impressed with that. Anyway, so I just thought I'd bring up the fact that if you're an advisor for 2 years, and you're getting ready to transition through the next 2 years, I hope you've read a lot. I hope you've read, you know, Jekyll Island, The Death of the Dollar. I hope you've not just read all the stuff on how to sell things, because, I mean, I got news for you. We got change.
Sales, it's not advice. It's advising on how I load up my pocket. So I found that website for you. I added it to your little link so you can find it later. It is a very long website. So if you are listening to this and you want to check this out for yourself, reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Give us a call, 623-523-0444. But it's violationtracker.goodjobsfirst.org. But it tracks the financial services banking industry. It says total penalties since 2000, $388 billion. A record 7,734 accounts of fines to big corporations. The biggest parent company penalties, Bank of America, totaling $87 billion for 329 accounts. So I've checked through some of these because, you know, we talked about in 2020 that $900 million, because it was almost a billion of Chase being fined for securities fraud. They show that in here. They show a lot of the stuff we've talked about on this show, but it is obscene the amount of fines issued to all these banks. And there's a reason why all these banks still exist, yet being fined $388 billion. And that's because they can make more money than they'll ever be fined. They do not care about doing the right thing. They care about making money, because if they get caught doing the wrong thing, it'll be a slap on the wrist. Yes, it's one thing to look and say, look how great we're punishing them. It's $900 million for securities fraud. That's almost $1 billion. Well, the odds are they made $5 billion, $10 billion off of whatever it was they were doing. So $1 billion doesn't do anything. They're going to continue to do the wrong things because none of these penalties are true penalties.
Way of our country.
Male.
Way of the world. And the last sentence on this article, as usual, we've reached out to Wells Fargo for comment and we'll update you if we hear back. JR's comment, I don't think you will. There's not much they can say. We're very sorry that we got caught. So we're about out of time. By the way, you know, the stuff that I bring to you, I do my best to vet and verify. And I just look at it like this, whether you believe it or not, whether you believe it's true, the stuff we bring you or not, it has little bearing of whether it really is. So if you read the article that says the Saudi thing is wrong, you know, keep your ears open. Because whether things are right or wrong, we're on territory.
Yeah, I want to look more, because I do believe that the death of the petrol dollar is coming, regardless of the technicalities of some of these articles. But
sorry,
yeah,
kids. Yeah. All right,
so,
I
think we're off. Reach out to us. You know, we'll send you our resources, our articles, the things we're saying. If you don't believe what we're seeing. But anyway, so that's it for today's show. If you like what you heard, have questions on any of the topics today, or want to sit down with us to review your personal financial situation, you can reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on the web, anothermoneyshow.com. You can book appointments straight from there. There's a little contact form. You can reach us from there. Remember, if you do want to sit with us, there are no minimums. There's no cost for appointments. There's nothing to lose by getting a second opinion on your financial situation. We'll see you again next Saturday at noon right here on 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
When it comes to retirement planning, focus more on income than building a big nest egg. I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. It may sound counterintuitive, but that big nest egg number you probably have in your head means a lot less than the income you'll have each month in retirement.
The math has all changed here, but the bottom line is, Time is your superpower. Save as much as you can.
NBC News senior business correspondent Christine Romans recently said on the Today Show that you should not just rely on Social Security in your retirement years.
Social Security alone is not likely to support you in the manner to which you are accustomed, right? You want to wait as long as possible to get that. Maybe 70. If you wait till you're 70 to collect Social Security, you'll get the biggest check.
And she says contribute to your retirement accounts early and often.
So this is from Fidelity. They say at age 30, you should have one time your salary in a retirement account when you're 30. So think about what your salary is at age 30, and that's how much you should have in your retirement account. By 50, it should be 6. This is where I start to freak out, because I know a lot of people can't and don't do this. By age 67, it should be 10 times.
A personal pension using a fixed indexed annuity is also a great option for many pre-retirees and retirees to consider. It offers protection from market volatility and a guaranteed stream of income that will last the rest of your life, no matter how long you live. Having a big nest egg may sound nice, but focusing more on income will set you up for success in your golden years. So, do you know where your paychecks and playchecks will come from each month when you leave the workforce? That's a key question to consider as you plan for what's ahead. With the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Matt McClure. Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.